never satisfied. The more he got, the more he wanted until the day he died. He could not bring it with him. He stood at heaven's doors. He was cast into outer darkness. The rich man became poor. So live your life for Jesus. He alone can satisfy. Life is short, he's coming soon, in a twinkling of an eye. Now there once was a poor man, begging on the streets. All he had was Jesus, and just some crumbs to eat. God took him to heaven, he entered a heaven of rest. For all of eternity, God gave him the best. So give your heart to Jesus, bow down on your knees. Ask the Lord to save you, he will meet your every need. Satisfied. The more he got, the more he wanted until the day he died. He could not bring it with him when he stood at heaven's doors. He was cast out in darkness. The rich man became poor. So live your life for Jesus. He alone can satisfy. His life is short. He's coming soon in a twinkling.
Amen. Thank you, Lawrence. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 4. As we continue our study in the book of Genesis tonight, we're going to go through this chapter. Title of the message, The Sons of Adam and Eve. Not all of their sons. I started to title it My Three Sons from an old TV show years ago. Some of you remember, I'm sure. Others of you have no idea what that is. But Adam and Eve had more than three sons, but there are three of them in this chapter. And so tonight the outline will simply be Cain and Abel and Seth, and we'll fill in some of the verses as we look at some things surrounding each of these three sons of Adam and Eve. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God and the opportunity to look into it. Father, we know that you speak to us through your Word today because your revelation is complete. And so we thank you for the complete Word of God. You've given us everything that we need to know. So help us to be diligent students of your Word, not just for the sake of knowing more, but the power of your Word to change and transform our lives as we study the Scriptures. And we pray that you would use your Word to transform us and make us more like Christ tonight. For it's in his name we ask. Amen. As we look at these three sons, we'll look first of all at Cain, chapter 4, verse 1. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. There. And so the name Cain, as you see there, means to get. Adam and Eve loved one another. It says here that he knew Eve. That is a Hebrew word having to do with knowledge through experience. And so they loved each other, and when they did, she conceived. And as we look at the outline here, we see, first of all, children. They named him to get. God had given them a child there. And the Bible says the fruit of the womb is his reward. And as Adam and Eve named their first child, they recognize, I got this child from God. And when we think about gifts that God gives us, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And oftentimes we think about that in terms of spiritual gifts. God gives us spiritual gifts, and He wants us to use those spiritual gifts. God gives us material blessings. He wants us to use those material blessings. We are held accountable to God for the gifts that He gives us, and children are a gift of God. And so we stand accountable to God for how we train up our children. We understand that they grow into adults and they make their own decisions, and we can't make every decision for them, but we have to give them the training to God, because these are gifts of God that God gives to us. Well, drop down to verse 17. We'll come back and fill in some verses a little bit later. It says, "And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch." And so there's this city built after him. Now, the question comes up oftentimes. It says, Cain knew his wife. And you've heard the question, where did Cain get his wife? Unsaved people, you know, they ask that all the time, you know, and say, where did he get his wife? Well, it's obvious from his mother-in-law, you know. Well, no, we look in the scriptures here, and later on we see as he was cast out, chapter 5, verse 4 says, Adam and Eve had many sons and daughters. And so either he was married to his sister, or maybe a niece or something. We don't know exactly. But we know that Cain had a son whose name was Enoch. And we go on down to verse 18. Unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. Name of the one was Ada. Name of the other was Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name, verse 21, was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And so early on in the Bible, you see music, and music is used to praise the Lord. It will be in heaven. We use it now. Thank the Lord for that. And verse 22, and Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Hearken to my speech, for if I have slain a man, not if, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold here. And so Cain, as we see at the end of this, he had committed murder. Later, Laban, one of his descendants here, also has confessed that he has done the same thing there. We are responsible for teaching our children here. Well, we go on to verse 1, back up to verse 1, and we see the concept of conception in verse 1. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived there. And this is where life began, at conception. That is a very important point with us who believe that abortion is murder. Here in the womb, there was life there. And to abort, and think about the word abort, what does it mean? It means to terminate. Terminate what? Life there. And so here, Cain was conceived, and Adam and Eve said, I've gotten this man-child from the Lord. And they recognized that God had given them this child. Well, let's look at the character of Cain. First of all, we'll see he was a man of unbelief. In Hebrews 11:4, speaking of Abel, Hebrews 11, as you know, is the chapter on faith. And speaking of Abel, it says that Abel obtained witness that he was righteous. Well, it doesn't say Cain didn't, but that was what is implied there, and we see that through chapter 4 as well. And Cain was an unbeliever. In 1 John 3:12, that we'll see in just a little bit, I'll put it on the screen later on, but it says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. And that's what it says of Judas too, that he might go to his own place, that he was of that wicked one. And Cain also was of the wicked one. Well, in verse 3, it says, in the process of time, literally in the end of days, there was a time of worship. And verse 3 says, Cain, he came and he brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering, God had not respect. And then Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell there. And so, is there worship that God refuses today? There was worship then. Here comes Cain, here comes Abel, and they both come with an offering to God. And sometimes people will point out, well, his offering was fruit of the ground. There wasn't a blood sacrifice, and that's why God did not accept it. Well, we know that there must be a blood sacrifice in order to be saved, but I don't think that was the reason that God rejected the offering of Cain. When you look in the Bible, there's the meal offering that was offered to God, and there are other offerings that were given to God that were bloodless offerings. So I don't think it was rejected because it didn't have blood. I think it was rejected because Cain wasn't a believer. He did not know the Lord. He didn't have the faith that Abel had, and he was of that wicked one there, as we read earlier. And we can see that in his actions as well. We saw this morning that repentance is one of the foundational truths that it demonstrates that we have had a change of heart and a change of mind. And verse 16, it says, and Cain went out, and it doesn't say voluntarily, but obviously that is the case, and so think about that. Cain, of his own free will, he went out from the presence of the Lord, and he dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden there. And so here he is unrepentant. He doesn't want to confess his sin. He doesn't want to admit what he's done. He's trying to run from God. He could have confessed his sin. The word confess means to say the same thing as. And so instead of coming to grips with what he had done and saying the same thing about his sin of murder that God had called it, he decided he was going to run from God and get away, sort of like Jonah did whenever he wanted to run from God. And so here he is trying to run from the presence of the Lord. We can't do that, can we? There's nowhere we can go and be out of God's presence, because he is everywhere. The prodigal son, you know, he went into a far country and, you know, and he was running and running, but God worked in his heart. And eventually he came back home. Well, here's Cain, and he had an unrepentant heart. He had an unbelieving heart. He didn't have the repentance, nor did he have the faith. Both of those things are required, as we saw this morning, for a person to be a believer or saved, which of course is New Testament terminology, but still a believer in the Lord. Well, let's continue looking at Cain. His condemnation, beginning at verse 6, we see his condemnation in four questions that God asked him. And the first question God asked him is in verse 6. The Lord said to Cain, why are you mad? Why art thou wroth there? Why is your countenance fallen? Sometimes people get mad at the messenger, don't they? And so here was the truth, and now Cain is mad at God because God had accepted Abel's sacrifice, but he didn't accept Cain's sacrifice. And And Cain wanted to do it his way. Offer God what he wanted. But we can't do that. If our service to God, if our sacrifice to God, if our worship and praise of God is going to be acceptable to God, then doesn't it just follow and make sense that we've got to do it God's way? If we want it to be acceptable to him, we do it the way he wants it to be done there. Well, the second question, God says in verse 7, if thou doest well, which means he didn't, shalt thou not be accepted there? And one of the things that in terminology we have to understand, that God does not accept us just as we are. Now, God loves us just as we are, but he doesn't accept us as we are. We can't get to heaven the way we are. We see in the New Testament that we are accepted in Christ. There's that wonderful prepositional phrase we've seen on Wednesday nights. We are in Christ. We are accepted in the Beloved, the Bible says. So God accepts us only as we are in Christ, because until we are in Christ, we're like Cain. We're still of that wicked one. We still are lost. We can offer all the praise and all the offerings and all the sacrifices, and we can give and give and give. But if the heart hasn't been changed, then God is not going to accept that. And so he doesn't accept the offering of Cain because he's an unbeliever here. So then the next question he asked Cain, he said, where's your brother? Verse 9. The Lord God said to Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? God knew where he was, didn't he? He knew he was dead. God doesn't ask questions to find out answers. God knows the answers. God asks these questions because he is working on the heart. Even though Cain is an unrighteous man, he's not a believer, God is still knocking at his heart's door. He's asking these questions. He's trying to bring about repentance, a change of heart in him. And now is when he had the opportunity to say, he is no longer with us, God. I have killed him. But Cain didn't. Notice what he said in verse 9. He said, I know not. I don't know where he is. Am I my brother's keeper? You know, and so maybe Cain was thinking, Abel is dead. What happens to him after he's dead? Where is he gone? I don't know where he's gone. So in a sense, I'm really not lying to God because I really don't know where he is. I might know where his body is. Isn't that what people do? They rationalize and try to justify a lie. And so Cain is lying to God instead of taking the opportunity to confess. He doesn't do that. Well, verse 10, the fourth question. God says, what have you done? What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Blood answers to blood. One day, every person will have to answer to God for what they've done, for whether they have received Christ or not received Christ, for whether they are a believer or not a believer. And now Cain is answering to God. Well, there are consequences whenever we do wrong, when we sin, especially when we don't repent of it and get it right. And the consequences in verse 12, God says, when thou tillest the ground, it shall come henceforth, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said in verse 13, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And so we see the consequence to him was very significant. The word punishment here that is used is actually one of four Hebrew words that is used to refer to sin. You read about sin and iniquity and transgression and evil. Well, it's one of the four Hebrew words that has to do with sin. But in that word, it has to do with the punishment of it. And so here we see a little remorse from Cain, but remorse and repentance are not the same thing there. And he recognizes that he sinned just by the word that he's used here, and his punishment is on him there. And God says you're going to be a fugitive, and that word is a word that means to shake or stagger. And it has the idea of trees just back and forth, swaying back and forth in the wind. And he says, you're going to be like that. You're going to be just back and forth, back and forth. And then you're going to be a vagabond. And that word means to flee. And now he's going to be running from God, and he's going to be wandering there. Just aimless motion. Always trying to go somewhere, but never getting there. He's going to be running from God. Because that's what it says in verse 16. It says, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And whenever a person refuses to face his sin and admit to God, confess to God his sin, he is running from the very presence of God. And what a terrible place to be. Cain was miserable here. He says, this is greater. I can't bear this. He didn't have to. What's the sad thing? He could have confessed it, and it would have been taken away. But he decided to take matters into his own hand and to run. And the second consequence of his sin and his stubbornness was separation. Verse 14, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. And from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass, this part kind of humors me a little bit, that everyone that finds me shall slay me. And I said, well, God should have just said, no, that won't happen. Only the first person that finds you is going to slay you, not everybody there. You know, and so here he says, I'm gonna die because of what I've done. And that's true. Adam and Eve are going to die because of their sin. And Cain's going to die because of his sin. We're all going to die because of sin. Hebrews says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. But we don't have to die spiritually when we accept Christ. Well, Cain has refused God as his Savior. And the most terrible thing of all is verse 14. Not so much being removed and driven out from the face of the earth, but from thy face shall I be hid. What a terrible thing for him to reject the God of Abel there and to go his own way. Well, let's continue the life of Cain. As we come to the last part of Cain's life, we see a commentary of him from the New Testament. Three times Cain is mentioned in the New Testament. One is in Hebrews 11. I mentioned that chapter earlier. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he, Abel, obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And so here's Abel, who was a righteous man, and he brought to God sacrifices, and God accepted them there. Don't you like the end of this verse where it says, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh? Do you know we have that opportunity as well, that after we are dead and no longer on this earth, we can still speak? We can still have a testimony for the Lord, even after they put us in the grave. The things that we do as we serve the Lord now, we can have a name that lives on for God. Abel has a name that lives on for God. All of those mentioned in Hebrews 11, they have names that live on for God. And Abel was one of that. We're going to look at Abel in just a minute. We have two more verses concerning Cain. 1 John 3:12, the verse I mentioned earlier. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore? Why? Why did Cain kill Abel? because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. In other words, he was jealous. He was self-righteous, but he didn't have the righteousness of God. And then the third verse in the New Testament that references Cain is Jude 1:11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. And that was a way of self-centered desires. That was a way of jealousy. That was a way of religion without God. Religious activity that was unacceptable to God. And we have a world going that way today. A world, especially the United States, of self-centered desires, jealousy, religious activity and worship that God doesn't accept. And that's the way of Cain. Well, let's move on to Abel. And we need to turn the air down, up a little bit. Is it getting a little cool in here? Up, yeah, not down, up, warmer. Brother Ray, will you go and bump one of those thermostats up a little bit, please? Yeah, I know you don't ever get cold there, but I see some people that are cold, and I'm getting a little cooler up here, and it's usually warmer up here, and I have a coat on, so I figure others are probably that way as well. All right, let's look at Abel. The next two don't have as many things to say about them as Cain, so it will not be quite as long. Abel's, now this is not a word I learned in Bishopville. This is a word that I had to find from my alliteration here. This simply means his name, the name Abel. Where Cain, his name meant to get. Well, this one means vanity or wind. And so here he was named Vanity. Not that his life would be in vain, but his life would be short like the wind, and he did not live as long. It's very likely that they were twins, Cain and Abel. Now, the Bible doesn't say that, but if you look at verses 1 and 2, notice it says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. It doesn't say that Adam knew his wife again. It doesn't even say that she conceived again. So it's very likely that these are twin brothers. Whenever you get down a little bit farther, that we will when we get to verse 25, it says, Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth there. And so we won't make a big issue of whether they were twins or not, but they probably were twins. They come up together, same age here, Cain being born first and the older of the two twins there. And so she calls his name Seth. Well, I'm sorry, calls his name Abel. Well, let's look at Abel's adoration for the Lord. In verse 4, Abel, he brought, notice what he brought to God. The firstlings of his flock. He didn't just bring of his flock. He brought the firstlings of his flock. And even before Abraham, when we read about the tithes there, and Moses and the law, even before that, we have here Abel bringing the firstlings of his flock to the Lord in adoration to the Lord there. And his giving of his flock was a demonstration of the adoration that he had for God. Isn't that what we find about God? Giving is a demonstration of his love. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave. And so giving is a demonstration of our love, just as God's giving is a gift, a demonstration of his love. And here is Abel. He is a man who's righteous. And God accepts his sacrifice because his heart is right. His heart loves the Lord. And he's giving to the Lord. And God accepts it there, or approves of it. In verse 4, it says, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. So the question comes up, is God a respecter of persons? Well, the New Testament tells us God is not a respecter of persons, but it's not so much that he's respecting Cain as a person, but his offering to God. Someone has said God is not a respecter of persons, but he is an inspector of persons. And as God is inspecting the life of Cain and Abel, he sees one who's a believer and one who is not. One offers a sacrifice and an offering to God his way without having the heart right, and the other one comes to God in a way that God will accept. And God approves that. And his gifts and his works were righteous, as we saw earlier in 1 John 3:12. Now let's go on to Seth. As we come to the last two verses of chapter 4, we've covered most all of those verses, but not in order as we normally do. The last two verses of the chapter. Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and she called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And so we look at this seed that God gave, and notice Eve's attitude. You know, oftentimes we study in the life of Eve, we don't know a whole lot about her. We know that she was deceived in the garden and she sinned, but we often miss this wonderful quality of Eve. Eve called his name Seth, for God, said she, hath appointed me another seed. And that's what the name Seth means. It means appointed there. And God had put him in the place of Seth. Cain had taken, in the place of Abel, excuse me. Cain had taken away the life of Abel. And Eve was probably sorrowful, I would imagine. And God is now giving her another child. And God appointed that child to this father and mother. And doesn't he do that to us? For every one of us, God appoints. He puts us in a place where he wants us. And Eve acknowledged that this child also, just as she named Cain to get, she recognizes that God is the one who has replaced the son that she has lost. Now, I know that if you have a child that has passed and you get another child, yeah, you have another one, but it doesn't actually replace that one. That's the meaning of this, but I understand the difference in that as well. But what a blessing that she now has another child there. Well, Seth has a son. His name is Enos. There in verse 6, 26. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos there. And I listed for you there, it doesn't say it in this passage there, but over in Luke chapter 3, as it's given the genealogy of Christ, it lists Canaan and Malaleel and Jared and Enoch and Methuselah, the oldest man to have lived there. And these were descendants of Enos who had come from Seth. But the last thing we see about Seth is his summoning. That's what the word call means in verse 26. Men began to call, to summon the name of the Lord. Men began to look to God and to expect something from God. But notice the word then. Then, in the time frame of Seth, and somehow this beginning to call upon the name of the Lord is connected to Seth here. And people began to call upon the name of the Lord because of him. And what a wonderful thing if in our lives, as God has a place for each one of us, as he appoints us, if we, even after we're dead, that our lives can continue to speak on and call people to call upon the Lord, to summon people to worship the Lord. Well, we have three names given here we have Cain and Abel and Seth. But notice we have another name here. Not a son of Adam and Eve, but the creator of Adam and Eve. They began to call upon the name of the Lord. We've looked at the name of Cain, the name of Abel, and the name of Seth. But as we get to the end of the story is not about any of them. The story is about the name of the Lord, that He gets the honor, that He gets the praise, and His name is blessed. His name is to be praised. And may the Lord help us, wherever He has placed us, and for regardless of whether our time is short, like Abel's, or whether our time is long, may the Lord help us that our lives would influence others to call upon the name of the Lord, because it is indeed about His name, not about ours. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, the only name by which we can be saved, the only name by which we have access to You in prayer, or access to You when we die. Father, we thank You for the way You were overruling in the lives of these people, even though Cain made this decision to murder. Yet he did not do without Your knowledge. He did not do that without Your knocking at his heart's door to try to bring him back to You. Even though he was running from You, You were coming after him, trying to bring about conviction through Your questions. And Lord, it was ultimately up to him. And Lord, it's a sad thing to think that he died and went to hell thousands of years ago and is still there. And Lord, we thank You for the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and the eternal life that is ours whenever we put our faith in Christ. Help us that our faith and our repentance may be evident, and Lord, that the gifts that we offer to You will be like those of Abel that were acceptable in Your sight, that our adoration for You will be like Abel, so that as we say we love You, we will have lives that demonstrate the love that we have for You by the way we bring our offerings to You, even as Abel did. And may the name of Christ be exalted. And we pray in His name. Amen.